In August 2015, something strange began happening in the maternity wards in Recife in Brazil. Doctors started seeing something they'd never seen before. Newborns with normal faces up to their eyebrows, and then no foreheads. Their brains horribly malformed. Many died. It was the Zika virus. Zika was first seen in 1947 in a rhesus monkey in the Zika forest in Uganda. It moved later to the Yap Islands, to French Polynesia, just last year to Brazil and other countries. 99% of those who get it, largely from mosquito bites, have mild symptoms, some paralysis, Guillain-Barré syndrome. But it is devastating to fetuses. Donald G. McNeil, Jr. covers plagues for the New York Times, and now he's crammed what he's learned about Zika into a powerful little book, Zika, the Emerging Epidemic. He joins us. Donald, welcome.
Thank you for inviting me.
You write, once in a while, a virus leaps out of obscurity and into headlines, Ebola, SARS, West Nile, Spanish swine, bird flu. But Zika is like no other. Why?
It's the first mosquito-borne virus that actually crosses the placenta and damages newborns or fetuses. And it's the first mosquito-borne virus that's ever also been sexually transmitted too. And both of these are just shockers for scientists. It changes everything about how you handle a virus.
Yeah. People might wonder, well, if it was 60 years ago in other parts of the world, why weren't we seeing these terribly deformed children with microcephaly, you know, this terrible brain damage?
We might have actually seen them, except nobody noticed. It's not quite clear what happened because nobody tracked the epidemics to know how many cases spread. But also there's other causes of microcephaly in the world. There's rubella, for which there weren't shots in much of the poor parts of the world until a few years ago. There's industrial poisons. There's fetal alcohol syndrome and drug toxicity to babies. So it may have happened. Just nobody was paying attention. It was when it hit those maternity wards in Brazil, in a place where a lot of people are giving birth in the hospital, which is crucial because then you have, instead of people seeing it in their homes and hiding the baby, you have suddenly doctors notice five or six kids with the same problem. And that's when you realize you have an epidemic on your hands.
Yes, you remind us that the modern day Zika epidemic is very public. And that's why it's kind of intersected with the question of whether or not women should have children. And you remind us that this happened once before in history during the German measles epidemic in the 60s.
Basically, the rubella epidemic drove the abortion laws long before Roe v. Wade came along. I remember after I finished the book, I found an article in Life magazine that was about women who went and got abortions because they were pregnant and then they had gotten German measles during that epidemic. And there are pictures in Life magazine of women in beehive hairdos sitting up in bed waiting to see the doctor. And that created a wave of sympathy for the idea of having an abortion in the case of a grossly deformed child that made it possible in some states to made abortion, which had been illegal, legal in those cases. So it actually helped drive the laws. And there's a possibility that might happen in Latin America.
Well, it already there's been a sort of a loosening, women being urged to, use contraceptives. But tell us about this chapter of your reporting because it's fascinating. We had no idea the behind-the-scenes fighting over when to issue travel bans, one issue, because countries' a travel ban can be a death knell if it means tourists don't go there, and when to tell women to not try to conceive. I mean, you tried to go to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to get answers on whether or not it was safe to travel to Brazil. These are people you've worked with, you've known well over the years, but you weren't getting answers. What was going on?
Well, there's two separate issues here, the travel ban and advice to avoid pregnancy.
Right.
Because a travel ban is one of the first things that states consider imposing during an epidemic. Medically, it's a relatively easy thing to do if you think it's a sensible precaution. It makes tourism ministers absolutely crazy, but it's something you absolutely have to do in order to protect your citizens from traveling to that country. On the other hand, what struck me about the epidemic was that very early on in the epidemic, health ministers in Latin America in five or six countries were asking women, please, if you can delay getting pregnant right now, please delay getting pregnant. Mm. That advice was sort of ignored in the United States because at the time in February, there was all this fuss about, all these rumors that microcephaly was caused by insecticides or that it was all just a miscount by the Brazilians and stuff. And sort of under the table, there was a reporter who did an article about the suggestion that women avoid having children, and she quoted a lot of reproductive rights groups saying, we think this is outrageous, that governments give this advice when they haven't provided for abortion or contraception to their countries. Mm. And my reaction was, wait, it's outrageous that they haven't provided abortion and contraception, but the advice itself is actually good advice because they know they can't control the mosquitoes. There's nothing they can do to save those women from having deformed babies, so why aren't they helping their women not become pregnant? Mm-hmm. And it became this gigantic sort of political explosion where essentially the reproductive rights groups were rejecting the advice, and the infectious disease specialists were saying, no, no, it's good advice, and in fact, we ought to be offering it in Puerto Rico eventually. But the CDC has been absolutely reluctant to issue that advice because it's become so politically incorrect to do so. Meanwhile, in Puerto Rico, they're shoving hundreds of thousands of units of IUDs and Norplant and pills onto OBGYNs there to help women not get pregnant, but they won't say the words, don't get pregnant. It's a very odd situation.
Yeah.
And what we're finding now is that in places like Colombia, there are relatively few babies with microcephaly, considering how many hundreds of thousands of women have been infected. And the best guess is, although nobody's producing the figures, that there was a big uptick in legal and illegal abortion in the country. They're aborting children that are going to be born deformed.
Well, not just
we
deformed.
Assume. We don't have the data.
Right. But and we just rush to say not just deformed but horribly deformed, in pain in many cases and maybe not even at all functioning in many cases. But I want you to flesh out this debate a little bit more that was going on. I mean, we heard about women very angry that there wasn't abortion available for women in Brazil, and yet they were being asked to not get pregnant. But there were other women. You talked to top officials who were, again, very reluctant to suggest to women that they not get pregnant because, for instance, what if that woman was 41 and it was her last chance?
When I spoke to a doctor who said that to me, I said, since when does a 41-year-old woman want a child that is damaged so badly that she will have to spend the rest of her life taking care of that child and you know that after her death there may be no one to care for the baby?
So you wanted more of an alarm, and maybe do you still want more of an alarm for either pregnant women or women who are of the age they can conceive?
Well, I'm a journalist, so I don't go out advocating more of an alarm or something. My job is to cover the news. But I'm mystified as to why the CDC is so reluctant to suggest to women that they consider delaying pregnancy because it's clearly the only thing that will save those women because mosquito control is not working, and also because the CDC is pushing contraception on women really hard but doing it under the radar in places where it has some control, as in Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Well, and you also had another provocative thought. Maybe people should try to get the Zika virus.
Yeah, it's not me alone. It's some infectious disease experts think that the best vaccine for Zika is to get Zika. It's not unlike measles or chicken pox or a number of other diseases.
And of course, you're talking about people who aren't pregnant and,
Exactly. Yeah. In other words, the best vaccine for Zika might be Zika itself for anyone who is not pregnant. The disease is a mild disease, even for, women of childbearing age. And if they then go on to have a child, a few months later, the virus probably disappears from their bloodstream within 2 weeks. And so, obviously nobody suggests they get sick and then try to get pregnant within 2 weeks. But after 8 weeks or so, even the CDC believes that it's safe.
Yeah. And then you have inoculated yourself, in effect.
Yes. As far as we know, it creates long-lasting immunity. Nobody's studied the disease long enough to know if the immunity is lifelong. But as with chickenpox, as with measles, as with lots of infectious diseases, having the disease, recovering from it, and having immunity appears to be long-lasting.
And the disease, outside of the terrible damage it does to a fetus, is relatively mild, except if you run the risk of getting Guillain-Barré, which is horrific. So what about that?
Well, we all run some risk at all times of getting Guillain-Barré. You can get it after surgery. You can get it after eating undercooked chicken. You can get it after a bad cold or a bad fever, a bad stomach virus. We have about a 1 in 100,000 chance of Guillain-Barré at all times. So, yes, this virus does raise the risk of Guillain-Barré. It raises the odds to about 1 in 5,000. The odds are lower for young women of childbearing age. They're higher for older men like me. I'd take that risk in a minute.
So Donald McNeil, again, somebody who's deeply reported on the Zika virus. You may have opinions of your own, but I'm going to ask, what would you say to someone who, a young woman, a woman of childbearing age, who wants to know what the expert opinion that you've heard is? What's one thing you would tell her from the expert opinion that you've heard?
A woman of childbearing age, I don't think, is in danger. A woman who is pregnant or might be pregnant ought to stay away from areas where the disease is being transmitted or might be being transmitted. And right now, I personally would consider that the city of Miami, not just one square mile, because mosquitoes don't know where the boundaries are and people travel with the virus in their blood. But I'm not the CDC. So I have, you know, there are doctors who agree with this point of view, and I sometimes quote them in the paper.
Yeah. Donald G. McNeil, Jr., his book is Zika, The Emerging Epidemic. It really leaves nothing, no stone unturned. Donald, thanks so much.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
And by the way, he also writes that outbreaks like Zika, Ebola before it, tend to come and go. Colombia has already declared its Zika epidemic on the wane. So if you do delay pregnancy, it may not have to be for very long. But we're curious, if you live in Florida, are you changing your childbearing plans? Are you staying out of Miami? Leave your thoughts at hereandnow.org.